You're listening to Valley Edition. The California Air Resources Board is one of the most powerful regulatory agencies in the nation, if not the world. It sets rules on everything from automobile emissions to the state's anti-global warming initiative. Last week, Senate President Pro Tem Kevin DeLeon appointed a new member to the board, someone who has strong ties to the Valley, former Shafter resident and State Senator Dean Flores. From 1998 through 2010, Flores represented the Valley in Sacramento, first in the Assembly and then the State Senate. During his tenure, he helped pass legislation that ended agriculture's historic exemption from air quality rules, a move which was highly controversial at the time. He also helped pass the state's landmark anti-global warming legislation. Senator Flores joins us now on Valley Edition. Welcome.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Why do you think it's important that the Valley has more representation on the Air Resources Board, and what do you want to accomplish on behalf of this part of the state?
Well, I think it's important, first and foremost, to state that we have a lot of work to do with clean air. You know, we still have about 7 out of the 15 most polluted areas in the country that lay in California, and half of that is in the Central Valley. So, you know, I think it's important. The Central Valley has obviously tough issues, and having more representatives on the board, I think, is going to be very, very important, particularly as we start to try to figure out better solutions. The Air Board's got a big agenda in front of it this year. We not only are beginning to look and scope out the plan for the next couple of years, but we also have some implementation issues that were thrown at it. And, of course, cap-and-trade climate investments and where they go will be very much at the top of my agenda. So many times the Central Valley communities have seen large air bills and these types of environmental things passed, but somehow the communities that are closest to the pollution don't seem to get the funds. So I really am looking forward to looking at the investments and making sure they get to the affected census tracts that need the most work.
You've talked about working with local environmental justice groups and things like that to try to get some of that cap and trade money to fund projects in this area. Talk a little more about how you think that might work.
Well, first of all, I have a very strong relationship with the environmental justice community that started way back when we passed the monumental legislation when I was in the state Senate that moved agriculture under the Clean Air Act and talked about how we can start to clean our basin at that time, and continues to be the case. Around 7 out of 10 kids were carrying inhalers to school. We found that asthma rates were just, 4 or 5 times the average in the state. And, you know, I think when we began to have that discussion, the environmental justice groups that I've worked with, we worked hand in hand to make sure that we could actually move this through the legislature well before we began to have this conversation about short-lived pollutants and a whole host of issues that still need to be resolved. So I plan to kind of reinvigorate my relationships, very strong relationships with the environmental justice community. I think they have been fighting in the trenches and really looking now towards the Air Board for investments that hopefully will make a difference. And I will continue to say that these communities who are the closest to pollution, the most affected by the pollution, who have the most gain with our solutions, those types of dollars really need to get into those types of census tracts. And, I think sometimes we forget that a lot of this money generated off cap and trade really needs to be reinvested in those communities to make up for many, many, many years of being communities that have been basically dumped on in terms of the amount of pollution and a lot of its harmful effects put on those communities. So I think this is a big year for investment and moving communities into a new era. And it doesn't just mean investments in transportation and other types of things. It means also green jobs and a whole new economy.
A lot of those activists with those environmental justice groups, many of whom speak very favorably of your nomination to the Air Board, have a great deal of criticism and some might even say disdain for the work of the San Joaquin Valley Air District. They say the officials there are dragging their feet, not being nearly aggressive enough in their efforts to clean up the air. Do you agree with that critique?
Yeah, I do agree with it. I think, obviously, having been close and watched the Air Board at our local level, I think there's a lot more they can be doing. I think it can move quicker. There's a lot more tools in their toolbox than there were 10 years ago. And, you know, anything I can do to make this board move quicker from the state level, I'm going to do. So I would say that if it's a resource question, if it's something that isn't clicking, if you will, at the local level with our local air board, I think they need to look now to the state board to see if we might be able to move and actually kind of push it forward. But I think there's been many battles there. I remember even having to place a member on that board who was a respiratory doctor and a few others. Senator Machado and I passed some legislation just to get out, you know, if you will, get the conversation going beyond industry and into the issues about pollution, its effects, and climate, these types of issues. So, you know, I think the environmental justice community has been fighting a very, very tough fight, probably the toughest fight of any group or groups anywhere in the state. It's one of the toughest boards in terms of trying to crack the veil of moving past industry. And I applaud their efforts. I hopefully now they see a partner on the state board.
Now, the air district, as they often are wont to do, say that the air has gotten considerably better in this part of the state over recent years, thanks in part to legislation that you helped author. What is the next frontier when it comes to trying to clean up the immediate problem?
Yeah.
I think a lot of the attention statewide has been on global warming, but right here we still have people dealing with asthma. What's the next frontier in trying to clean up the air here that we haven't already taken on?
Well, I think you've hit it right on the head. I think before we solved the world's problems and we become the largest player, which we were in Paris, and I applaud those efforts, support those efforts. I think all the governor and the leadership in the Senate and the Assembly have been part and parcel of moving California to another level. However, on the ground, there's no doubt that we have to return back to the bread and butter issue of short-time pollutants and looking at issues that affect communities directly. And I think in the Central Valley, you know, the biggest issue, as you just mentioned, is we'll be focusing on mobile sources. There's no doubt that the things that we do in the Central Valley are really, we travel east and west. Anyway, you know, we're not really a north-south type of a place. Those are folks going from San Francisco to Los Angeles. But in the Central Valley, our mobile sources are absolutely critical in terms of trying to get those reductions down to a place where we can actually have tolerable air. And that will be a very big focus of mine. There's no doubt that the goods movement sector is hugely important in the Central Valley. You know, transit is becoming more important in the Central Valley. We had a whole discussion in my first board meeting about, you know, electrifying our and moving away from even compressed natural gas to you know, electric type buses. Those types of discussions are really, really important in the Central Valley. Because we go east-west, we have a lot of idle time, and that produces a whole enormous amount of pollution in our sector. So I think it's also about planning and transportation, making sure that we have, you know, the kinds of things in the Central Valley that make some sense. Clearly, when we start to look at the largest single source of emission, it used to be dairies. Dairies still are going to be on the agenda, no doubt, with the amount of methane that's been produced. Those aren't helpful. But we still have to go back to the larger issue in our, particularly in the Central Valley, which is east-west traffic and the amount of idle time that occurs.
Senator Dean Flores is the newest member of the California Air Resources Board. We're talking to him today on Valley Edition. Last year, you were very vocal in support of Senator De Leon's bill that would have put a cap on fossil fuel use for transportation purposes.
Yeah.
The bill ultimately passed, but without those key provisions, largely thanks to lobbying by the oil industry and their successful lobbying of moderate Democrats, including your successor, Henry T. Perea. He said Valley residents would be hurt most by the cap. Where did he go wrong, in your view?
Well, I think first and foremost, you know, that bill was killed with about $22 million of oil dollars that kind of filtered into a large campaign that basically scared legislators, you know. And I think, unfortunately, the scare tactics seem to have worked with the more moderate members of the legislature. Henry Perea, as you're correct, kind of led the charge, saying this is really going to hurt Valley residents. I don't agree with that. I was there at a time where, you know, I voted for AB 32. It created a whole bunch of innovation. I think it began a discussion about how we move away from fossil fuels in a more positive way, gave a good timeline to do that. I think that discussion at 350 really got lost because of the amount, enormous amounts of money spent by the oil industry to somehow say that, you know, the gas prices were going to be astronomical and somehow we were going to ration gas. And I watched the debate, and it was really unfortunate because I think it really left out of the discussion the fact that, you know, we have traditionally innovated our way to great things in this country and particularly in California, and it always started with, you know, a goal and a standard. And I think the 50% reduction is a good goal. It's a good standard. It's something to shoot for, and I think ultimately it will diversify the way that we do things in the Central Valley. Renewables obviously stayed in this bill. That's a very much of a positive now going to 50%. But I think what, you know, as we will return to this, no doubt, and have this discussion many, many, many times. So I applaud, you know, Senator De Leon and I think everyone who worked towards getting the valley in a discussion. Unfortunately, I think it got drowned out by a whole lot of oil money. And that's unfortunate because I think the way I look at it, there always is an opportunity to innovate. We've always innovated. And I think, you know, it's just going to be one of those things where we have to kind of look at each other and say, you know, how long can we continue on the path? And hopefully, you know, the Air Board will continue down its path of trying to diversify the types of things, particularly on the mobile source side, that will make some sense.
The Air Board has a lot of power, but it doesn't pass legislation. You've already seen that side of the coin. Now that you're on the other side with the Air Resources Board, it writes rules. Maybe this contrast from your perspective, what's it like being on the other side of the equation now?
That's a great question. I think for so many years I legislated towards the Air Board, towards, you know, if you will, the regulators to get things done or to move and try to set a rule and agenda to get, you know, everything that I thought was important completed, particularly on the air side. So it's interesting to be on the other side of the table now, the implementers, actually kind of taking those broad strokes that the legislature pushes forward and now making those into rules and regulations that actually implement their vision. So I'm really looking forward to it. I've never, you know, it's been about 12-plus years where I've never been able to be on the other side and actually now implement and rulemake, you know, the legislature's types of, and the governor's, of course, wishes. And I think the key to it now on this side of the table is to be very, very, very focused on the impacts that a lot of these things have, particularly on disadvantaged communities, poor communities, census tracts that really are going to be looking and asking the question, it all sounds good, but how is it going to be able to make my life easier? How do I breathe easier? How do I kind of move my kids off these inhalers? And I'm always going to be looking as a rulemaker now on terms of how that impacts disadvantaged communities and how ultimately it affects those communities in a very, very substantial and deep way. And that's really on the ground. And sometimes you don't get that in the legislature. You're a bit removed, but I think now on the Air Board, I think it'll be, you know, I really look forward to kind of implementing some of the things that, you know, Senator De Leon, for example, has championed for a good many years. And to try to put that in the rulemaking perspective will be a nice paradigm shift.
There's also a criticism that you hear from time to time among Republicans, but also among some Democrats as well, that CARB has simply too much power. You even talked about CARB dealing with things like transportation, land use, those sorts of things. How do you counter that argument that CARB is unelected and they have too much power?
Yeah, I don't think CARB has too much power. I think what CARB is able to do is take the broad strokes of the legislature and actually implement these into rules and regulations that people fight over. I mean, obviously, when people go to CARB and they don't like a rule or regulation, they have, you know, many options. The board takes votes ultimately. I think it's really the end result of a lot of discussion that comes from a broad policy perspective. But I would say that CARB is perfectly situated. It's far a little bit removed from the legislature in a sense that they're not elected. I think that's a good thing, at least in this arena. I mean, you need some time for some thoughtful, away from the politics types of opportunities to make these rules really work. And I think CARB gives, you know, that perspective, has that perspective, and has always been shielded from that. So I think it's actually going to, you know, be has historically been a nice balance. But I think as we move into the implementation of AB 32, the scoping of it, the implementation plan, the drafting of a whole bunch of regulations dealing with transit and, you know, electrification of a lot of things that we're working towards, I think that's a bright place to be at this point in time.
One last question before we go. Senator Flores, after you left Sacramento, you continued your involvement in public affairs. You are a registered lobbyist with the state. You represent a number of clients. What happens to your firm balance now that you're on the Air Resources Board? And what about your clients, like the Semitropic Water District? They paid your firm over $100,000 last year. Are you continuing in that business, or what's happening there?
No, I think we'll continue to evaluate if there are conflicts and things that somehow move into the realm of the Air Board. But, you know, thus far, we have been really focused more on the policy side of advising. We've been really, really fortunate to talk about kind of what the longer-term impacts are of water policy. That's kind of the bread and butter of balance, and we'll continue to kind of have those discussions. And I think, you know, as we transition, I think we're really going to be focused more on the overall advising of politics, in the sense that policy that affects the Central Valley, particularly water policy, has to be, you know, one of those things that really does make some sense. And, you know, so I think we're going to be fine. I think the overall thought for me right now at this point in time is really trying to kind of really set an agenda, get the stakeholder groups together so that there is an agenda on how we're going to kind of deal with the new next realm of air quality regulations. And I think the most important is, how do we get the Central Valley again back on the radar screen? Immediately I've taken a lot of speaking engagements back in the Central Valley. I'm on a panel in Bakersfield in a couple of weeks talking about energy, oil policy, and air quality. And I'm very, very happy that we'll be now back in the debate discussing the unique impacts of the Central Valley, and more importantly, having the environmental justice community having a seat at the table from that perspective in these discussions. I think it's a unique opportunity, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Former Shafter resident and State Senator Dean Flores represented the Valley from 1998 through 2010. He is now the newest member of the California Air Resources Board. He joins us today on Valley Edition. Senator Flores, thanks for taking the time.
You're welcome, and thank you for having me anytime.